Hello, this is Christine Price. And if you're listening, you may be asking the question, what is integrative mental health? That's a big question. It's like asking not only what is psychology, but also what is Eastern medicine? The answer would take volumes to address completely. But the simple answer is that it is the bringing together of both Western and Eastern schools of thought. Let me start with explaining integrative medicine. First, it's helpful to understand the origins of Western medicine. Our modern-day medicine is deeply rooted in the study of the physical body, which goes back at least as far as the Renaissance period. Even today, the medical classroom still includes the dissection of cadavers. Think about that for a moment. A dead body provides the substance to understand anatomy from the inside out, but what is missing? The life force energy, chi, or prana, which essentially describes the entire basis of Eastern medicine. Traditional Chinese medicine, such as acupuncture and Ayurveda, which comes from India, are not just a few hundred years old, they go back thousands of years. The two disciplines of Eastern and Western medicine are as far apart as the two hemispheres of the planet, but they represent two sides of a complete picture. Just like we would not do well to cut the earth in two, then we really would fall off, as Columbus suspected, but we don't want to split the human condition in two either. If you're having a heart attack, you wouldn't want just an herbal remedy or a dietary change, which would have been helpful to prevent it, but you would be very grateful for an emergency room and a surgeon. However, when we just treat the body, the results are often not effective. Western medicine is designed to treat diseases, and it often doesn't even detect a problem until it has progressed in severity. But Eastern medicine typically prevents and manages more subtle symptoms before they progress. Now that you understand this picture with medicine, let's talk about mental health. The Western approach to treating mental illness starts with a diagnosis. Again, the problem has to be fairly severe before it's considered medically relevant or reimbursable by insurance. At that point, it is often necessary to use medication, and a person may be in therapy for a while, getting to the root of the symptoms and changing ingrained patterns of thought, along with automatic behaviors, typically through cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. This works well enough to still be what is taught in master's and PhD programs, but in my experience, this is only part of the whole picture of complete healing. Western approaches address the physical and the mental components of these disorders, but with certain limitations. I have seen that increasing serotonin levels is very helpful for many people, but I've learned that there are ways to do this more naturally than medication. For example, with nutritional neurochemistry, there are certain foods and supplements that can increase serotonin levels. I give specific details about this in my book, 10 Ways to Balance Your Brain Chemistry. Now let's talk a little bit about anxiety, which is the most often diagnosed mental health disorder. Anxiety levels can decrease when someone uses cognitive behavioral therapy. For example, you could tell yourself a rational truth to dispel a fear. Like, there's only a 1% chance of this bad thing happening. But an individual might also need to increase their GABA levels, which is a neurochemical like serotonin. Doctors tend to prescribe benzodiazepines, such as Valium or Xanax, to increase GABA levels. And this is not a good solution, especially long term. Taking these medications is very similar in the brain as drinking alcohol. When someone drinks enough for long enough, what happens? Yes, they are at risk for alcoholism. Benzodiazepines are especially risky for individuals who have genetics or predispositions towards addiction. And often they don't know if they do or not. This is one case where I especially find the solutions in Eastern medicine to be much more effective. Both yoga and Ayurveda have their origin in the Vedic tradition of India, and yoga is a form of integrative mental health. Research has been done on it that has found it does indeed raise GABA levels in the brain, and it is a method of treatment for anxiety. What I found personally is that there are certain types of yoga, and as we have westernized some of these Eastern modalities, they've lost some of the healing essence. So there is a little more to it than what you might find at the gym. Another example is post-traumatic stress disorder. There are physiological changes that have occurred with trauma, and the brain requires a great deal of support and interventions to rewire and bring inner peace to the irrational mind. One can't just tell their limbic system to calm down, like you would find in a cognitive approach. That is like trying to reason with a one-year-old and convince them that mommy is coming back in just an hour. This part of the brain doesn't understand past or future. It is just in the present moment. And if it has been triggered, it believes that the danger is imminent. In this case, I like to say it's time to make a shift from medication to meditation. I've been privileged to learn the practice of meditation from a former Buddhist monk, Nithyashanti, who is now an international teacher. In this discipline, I found it possible to reach the deepest origins of our fears and transform them, so that our limbic systems are in the presence of peace in each moment. If you look at my diamond of wellness, you'll see that there are four parts to healing. I will explain why we need all four parts, going back to the example of depression. When someone has been stuck for a long time in a state of low motivation, poor self-esteem, deep sadness, emptiness, and low energy, it will likely take more than a pill to change something so pervasive. There is actually a type of chronic depression called dysthymia that is considered treatment resistant. What I found is that it requires all four parts of healing to change this stubborn pattern. I have learned this from my own life experience, as well as working with hundreds of clients. I was weighed down by dysthymia for most of my childhood and adolescence. I finally started self-medicating as a teenager and continued that dead-end solution into my first year of college, where by coincidence, I started studying psychology. But it took me getting addicted to drugs to finally get real help. Within just a few years of getting clean, I became a substance abuse counselor. What I learned in my studies and experience of treating addictions is that the most effective approach was not in medicine. It was in a spiritual program. That is when I started to become specialized in integrative mental health. I just didn't know that's what it was at the time. That's also where I discovered my wellness diamond in treating the whole person, and years later, when I went on to get my master's degree in psychology, I found that diamond still applied to mental health issues. So this is how the diamond applies to treating chronic depression. One facet is to look at the physical nature of the problem, which in the case of dysthymia isn't so much an imbalance of serotonin, it's actually the dopamine or endorphin levels that are out of balance, and these respond to a different set of solutions. Then I would also look at the mental facet. With dysthymia, there are almost always chronic negative thinking patterns. There is much that can be done here. For example, using daily affirmations and a gratitude focus. There is also a strong correlation with chronic depression and emotional atrophy. This is like saying someone with 100 extra pounds of weight is also likely to have low muscle tone. Someone with the emotional weight of chronic depression has likely not learned to identify and express what they're really feeling. They usually have buried their emotions, but with support to bring them to the surface, we find the key in lifting them out of that deep heaviness. This is also how I've come to use the analogy of a diamond. Think about what a diamond has to go through. It is put under intense pressure, and it transforms. The spiritual side of healing is all about that transformation. It's not necessarily about religion. Although that background can inspire a spiritual awakening for many, myself included. But I found that it's more about what I've explained as Eastern practices. The aspects of poor self-concept and the emptiness that go hand in hand with depression can go very deep. This level is often found and healed within the self-awareness and higher levels of consciousness that have become my very favorite paths of learning. Our true nature is not our eventual cadaver. It is our spirit that existed before and that will continue on, beyond this physical existence. That can be the very best suicide prevention there is. Understanding that the core essence of this type of depression will not be resolved by ending one's life. That essence must be healed here and now, where it can and does change. That is the miracle of my life. that I found that type of complete healing. It was not a quick fix, but it is one that has compelled me to become an author and that I love sharing with others. Start now, and we can share the journey to your healing.